Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochem Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the fourth line from the top of Kuf Yud Beis, you notice a double underline that is found under two expressions. On the outside margin of our Shas Ozer marked Gemaras, you will notice a Mivneh heading. This is a structural note. We've indicated the double underline there with the word Yoda featured. Yoda, a hand. Hashpas mikum hanochas yodoi shel odom. The effects that the placing of one's hand has on a person, depending on where he places his hand, as you will see very shortly in the Gemara. Yoda ausya. If a person places his hand, or has a habit of placing his hands near his nostrils, darga lepachada. This is a step to fear. The Rashbam points out the fear is a result of the ruach ra, the evil spirit. So, according to this, it's recommended that one shouldn't accustom himself to placing his hands near his nose. Yada aufta darga l'shinsa. If one is accustomed to resting his hand on his forehead, or resting his forehead on his hand, this is a step to sleep. This brings on fatigue. Tana, we have a Tanaic source, as you can see it's in a frame. Oichlin umashkin tachas amita, if one keeps food and drink under one's bed, afilu mechupin bekli barzel, even if the food and drink are stored in metal vessels, they're in other words completely sealed, ruach ro shir alehen, the evil spirit will be able to dwell upon these food and drink items. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source. This piece of Gemara is accompanied by a long point marking. You can see a nun that appears in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. There is a vertical dash line that follows, indicating that all of these lines form the point of the Gemara. We have also featured here diamonds with colored-in tips. This is all explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll notice there's a diamond featured, and a couple dots following it. Zmanim shiesh limone mishtias yayin lipnei hasakona. In this Gemara you will see two of these diamonds. One is here, and if you skim down the left hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice there's a one in a diamond. If you continue down, you'll run upon a two. It's actually on the fourth wide line of the Gemara. These are two sources that deal with times that one is advised to restrain from the drinking of water because it could pose a danger. Well, what happens if a person is actually thirsty? What should he do? So, the first point, Tonu Rabbanan, Lo yishta odom mayim, lo belele revios, velo belele shabosos. A person should restrain from drinking. Leo Revius would be what we call Tuesday night, which is the beginning of Wednesday. Wednesday, the Revius, the fourth day of the week. And also Friday nights. One should restrain from drinking without drinking in the dark, basically. Without light, candlelight. V'im shasa, and if a person does drink in the dark, domo baroshim ipnei sakona, then he is guilty for his own injury, his own death, if you will. Domo Barosho is an indication of his own danger because he brought it on himself because of Sakona. My Sakona, what is the danger in this case? Ruach Ra. It's the danger posed by the evil spirit. V'im Tzochi Mai Takate. You'll notice we have a dotted underline. The reason for this is that in the next section of Gemara, which also deals with times to restrain oneself from drinking, you'll find the same issue of V'i Tzochi Mai Takate dot underline. This means, Tzochi means thirsty. If he's thirsty, so what is his solution? If he finds himself on Tuesday night or Friday night very thirsty and he's in the dark, so the answer is, Lema, he should say, Shiva Koilo Shomer David Alamayim. He should say the psukim that have in it seven references to Koil that is connected with water. The Hodar Nishti, and then drink. Shenamar, as it says in the Pasuk, and this is the Pasuk that he should say. Koil Hashem Al Hamoyim. Kel Hakavod Hirim, Hashem Al Mayim Rabim, Koil Hashem Bakoyach, Koil Hashem Bahador, Koil Hashem Shover Arazim, Vaishabeh Hashem Es Arze Halavonoin, Koil Hashem Chotsev Lavois Eish, Koil Hashem Yochil Midbar, Yochil Hashem Midbar Kodesh, Koil Hashem Yochil Ayolois, Vayachsof Yoros Vecholo Kulo Omer Kavod. If one is interested in the translation of this, one is advised to open up an English translation of either Tehillim or a Siddur, and one will find it there. For our purposes, though, we notice that through our numbering in the Pasuk itself, there is a reference to the word Koil seven times. And this will work to counteract the effects of the Ruach Ra under the circumstances of darkness, and one is thirsty. Ve'iloi, and if for some reason he is unable to do that, then le'mahachi, an alternative solution, and you'll see in the next few lines the expression ve'ilo with a squiggle underline, and as each line, as it appears, this represents if the previous solution is untenable, then the next one is the suggested method. So we continue here, and we're going to encounter some incantations, and we've discussed this in the earlier dapim that we've learned recently, and that we are dealing with sugyas that involve themselves with things that are of a mystical nature, and the true or deeper meaning goes way beyond the simplistic translation that we are providing in the context of our shiurim, but that is the nature of our recorded shiurim with regard to these types of sugyas. So we continue, ve'ilo, we say, if the aforementioned is not to be done, is not tenable, so le'mahach, he should say thusly, and the following is a lachash, is an incantation, and we have it in quotation marks, but we're not going to deal with any translation of it. It says, lul shofon anigroin anirdefin bein kochfaya yasivna bein bli shmeini azilna. The e lo, and if he doesn't know that, then e iko inish achrino e iko inish bahadei. If he has someone with him, nisare, he should arouse him from his sleep. The le mole, and say the following: planyo bar planso tzachino maya. So and so, referring to himself, is thirsty. Vahadar nishti, and then drink. The eloi, and if he is alone, then mekarkesh naksimo achatzva, he should bang, mekarkesh is to bang the naksimo, the lid, on the chatzva, on the jug, the hodar nishti. The eloi, and if that's not a possibility, then nishti bo midi, vahodar nishti, should throw something into the water and then drink it. Tanu Rabbanan, and as we mentioned before, this is another situation that will deal with times to restrain from drinking water. Lo yishte odom mayim lo min ha'nahoros lo min ha'agamim balaylo. A person should not drink from rivers or from lakes any water at night. V'im shasa, and if he does that, domo b'roshim et ne'asakona, then he is just he's just asking for his own injury because of the present danger. My sakona, what is the danger? Sakonas shaviri, there is a danger of blindness. And if he happens to be thirsty and he finds himself near a river at night, what should he do? If someone else is with him, he should say the following. We saw this actually before as well. So-and-so, referring to himself, is thirsty. Ve'iloi, and if that's not a possibility, or if he's alone, then he should say to himself. And this is an incantation. In this incantation, we'll see the word shaviri that was mentioned two lines above, referring to blindness. And the word will be recited again and again, but each time in a reduced fashion. So the Gemara says that if he is by himself, then he should say, planyo omro li imi izdahir. So he says, so-and-so, mother told me, is dire, be careful from me, shavriri. Shavriri was the word referring to blindness, or that which causes blindness. So part of this incantation is that he should say, be careful from shavriri. Shavriri, briri, riri, yiri, ri, tzachino mayo, bekosi chivra. I'm thirsty for water in a white cup. As far as we're concerned, as we mentioned already a few times, this is an incantation, and what it really means is beyond the scope of our shiur. The Gemara continues, referring back to the Mishnah that spoke about a person who is deeply impoverished, where his sustenance is drawn from the tamhui. This is a daily distribution of food, and this is given to people who don't have the means of buying even two meals, meaning he's is quite indigent. Even so, the Mishnah says that he has to get his four cups. And if the gabbait stock, if the person in charge of charity funds is not providing him, this indigent individual, with the four cups, he should even sell the shirt off his back. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah of Afilu min ha-tamchui, he is not to have less than four cups. Tamchui is that distribution dish. Even if he's supported from that, he shall have no less than four cups more. It says, Pshita, well, that's obvious, it's a mitzvah. Person has to perform the mitzvah extend himself to be able to do that. So if it's a matter of selling his shirt, so be it. Loi nitzurcha, no, the Mishnah is a chiddush, it's needed for elafilu l'Rabbi Kiva, even according to Rabbi Kiva, the Omar, who has been known to say regarding a person who is very poor, who doesn't have the means, let us say, of buying a respectable Shabbos meal. So he says, Asei Shabbat chochol v'al titzorech l'brios, make your Shabbos, which ordinarily is a day that we have extra and more expensive type foods, nevertheless treat it like a weekday, but don't become dependent on others. In other words, if it's a matter of borrowing money in order to provide a handsome Shabbos meal, avoid doing that. Make your Shabbos like a weekday and do with less, and don't become dependent on others. However, over here, with regard to the Dalit Kaisais, because there is a special consideration of Pirsum Nisa, which means publicizing the miracle, celebrating the Pesach Seder is a publicizing of the miracle involved in the Exodus from Mitzrayim. So because of that, Moida, Rabbi Akiva himself will concede that one should do everything, even as a function of borrowing funds for the purpose of buying the four kaisis, he should do so. Tana debei Elio. We have the following Tanaic source. Afalpi she'omar Rabbi Akiva say Shabbat chochol ve'al titzorech l'brios. Even though Rabbi Akiva is on record as saying, make your Shabbos a weekday if you're a man of limited means, ve'al titzorech l'brios, and don't become dependent on others. Aval oisehu dover muat besoch beso. But even so, a person who is very poor and it happens to be Shabbos, he should do something a little bit extra, just a little bit. Mine, and what would be a fulfillment of this little extra? Omar of Popo, kasa deharsana. This is a type of fish dish which involves frying fish with flour. And that would be, apparently, from the context of this Gemara, it seems to be a very inexpensive kind of food item, but for this individual, it would represent his little extra. In other words, we're telling you, extend yourself beyond your means. Even if you happen to hold like Rabbi Akiva, or at least the way Tana de Baileo presents it. And the idea of extending yourself beyond your means for the performance of a mitzvah is illustrated in the following saying, Kiddisnan, as the following Tanaic source, which is found in Maseches Ovos, tells us. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Oimer, Have az kenomer v'kal kenesha rotz katzvi v'gibor ka'ari, la'asuis ritzon avicha sheba shemayim. This is a well-known saying where Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says that a person should be bold like a nomer, a type of animal associated with the large cat family. So one should be bold like the nomer, often translated as a leopard. Vakal kenesher, swift like the eagle. Rotz ketzvi, and run like a deer. And bold or strong like a lion in the performance of the Almighty's will. And for our purposes, this means that one should extend himself for mitzvahs even a bit beyond his ability. And the reason this is brought in, as we just mentioned, because even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that a person should not become dependent on the public for Shabbos meals, for Shabbos needs, nevertheless, he should extend himself a little bit extra all the same. Before we go further, we have a series marking a triangle. And you can see these triangles have colored in tips. This is to contrast them with triangles that appeared on the previous Amud, indicating this is a new series that's not related to anything we learned before. In the on the margin of our Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, the structural note, the triangle is featured. Sidro shel tzavois rabbonim shemofim im mispar. These are a series of tzavos. Are an expression referring to instructions that a person before he dies leaves with his children. Sometimes we refer to it as a will, but here we're talking about pieces of advice that we find different rabbonim instructing their children. It's not necessarily it doesn't necessarily have to be associated with near death, even though that may be customary. So the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Shiva Dvarim Tzivo Rabbi Akiva Es Rabbi Yeshua Beno. There's seven things that Rabbi Akiva instructed his son Rabbi Yeshua. Beni Al Teshev Begova Shel Ir V'tishne. Don't sit on a high place in the city and learn. The Rashbam explains, this Gova Shel Ir is really a reference to a place that a lot of people pass by. And there's a place that sticks out. It's high in the sense, not necessarily an altitude, but a place that sticks out and many people pass by, and that will cause you to lose concentration on your learning, and you'll end up not learning effectively. The Al Todur Be'ir Shirashel Tamidei Chachamim. Second piece of advice is don't live in a city where the heads of the city, the mayor, city council, are people that are Talmudic sages. And the reason for that is that a person who is a Talmud Chacham is inevitably preoccupied with his learning. And his preoccupation with his Torah learning will detract from his ability to pay attention to the municipal needs. And if you're living in a town, you want to live in a town that you'll have basic municipal needs taken care of. And if the heads of the town aren't concentrating on the public needs, so you will suffer. Therefore, choose a town where the leaders of the community are, the leaders of the municipality, that is, are not Talmudic sages. V'al tikones lebeis chapisoim, and do not enter your house suddenly, namely unannounced. In other words, coming, just flinging open the door and saying, hi, I'm here. Kol shekein lebeis chaverech, and all the more so with regard to someone else's house. The chiddush here is, even your own house, you should announce your coming, or let it be known that you're about to enter. And the reason for that is that people may be involved with things that require privacy and modesty, and your sudden entrance could pose an embarrassment. V'al timona min olim meraglecho, and don't withhold shoes from your feet. The Rashbam says that it's non-respectable for a Talmud Chacham to walk barefoot. So as to provide the proper respect for your own dignity, to be dignified, it's important to provide shoes and not walk barefoot. Number five, hashkem ve'echol. The advice here is to get up early and eat. In other words, what we sometimes say, not good to skip breakfast. And when does this apply? Well, this applies year-round. Bakayetz, in the summer months, mitnei achamo, the eating will protect you against the ill effects of the heat. Ubachoref, and in the cold season, in the winter season, the eating early in the morning will protect you, mitnei hatsino, against the ill effects of the cold. Number six, Vasei Shabbat Chochol Val Titzdorech Librios. This, of course, is Rabbi Akiva, consistent with what his position that we've seen quoted above earlier. And number seven, Vahevei Mishtadil Im Odom Shashol Misachek Islo. And Mishtadil would mean to have dealings with a person who is having good fortune right now. And this will be explained by the Gemara. Omar Rav Papa. Notice we have a little aleph. The aleph and the beis that follows indicates two stages in the development of the following idea. So Omar Rav Papa, lo lemizvan minei, lo lizvuni lei. when Rabbi Akiva says to have dealings with a person who is experiencing good fortune, it does not mean, and this, bear in mind, is the first stage of the Gemara, it does not mean to buy from him nor to sell to him, because if he's having good fortune, if you try to buy from him, he'll get a very high price out of you, and you know, you'll lose out. And not to sell to him, because if he's having good fortune, he'll be able to buy from you at a very low price, and you'll once again be losing out. Elo, the advice of Mishtadelim Odom Shesham Misachek Islo means Lemevad Shutfis Bahadei, to enter into a partnership with the man who's experiencing good fortune. However, Vahash Dom of Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, now that we have the teaching of Rav Shmuel that says, "My dichtiv," there's a pasuk regarding Eov that says, "Maisi Yodov Beirachto," and from that we learn with regard to Eov, anyone who received any money from him, the money that he got itself would be profitable. So, afilu the mizvan mine ulizvuni le shabir dami, even buying from him or selling something to him. If you buy from him, so you'll have an item that you got from the person that shall show misachek eslo. Or if you sell something to him, you'll get cash from him. And just like we saw by Eov, people who received things from Eov saw bracha in that which they received. They saw increase and profit from that which they received from this man who is experiencing fortune. Therefore, then there are no real restrictions on this idea of being mishtadel with a person that is experiencing good fortune, not only partnership, but even buying and selling from him. Chamisha dvarim tziva Rabbi Akiva es Rabbi Shimon ban Yochai kishoy chavush beis asurim. Here, once again, we see Rabbi Akiva featured. In this case, he's turning to one of his most famous Talmidim students, and that is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, sometimes known as the Rashbi. And this incident, it takes place when Rabbi Akiva was incarcerated, and his incarceration is featured at the end of Maseches Brochus, where he was put in prison because he was involved with teaching Torah. The structure of the Gemara is worth noting. We have a little brackets right now in the Gemara, and after the brackets, the list of the five things that Rabbi Akiva mentions to Rabbi Shimon Choy will appear. And in fact, as we go on in the Gemara in general, we're going to notice a number of bracketed sections as far as the upcoming lists are concerned, whereby the Gemara will mention the lists and at certain points interrupt in the presentation of lists to explain a particular point and then pick up the list afterwards. So we will be able to navigate with our marking system by focusing on the numbers, and you'll see the list unfold in front of you by focusing on the numbers, bearing in mind that the Gemara offers in explanations, interim explanations. So in this particular case, the list starts after the bracketed section. That having been said, let's learn through the Gemara straight. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai meets Rabbi Akiva while Rabbi Akiva is in prison. Omar lo, Rabbi Lamdeni Torah. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai turns to Rabbi Akiva and says, "Teach me Torah." Omar, Rabbi Akiva responded, "Eini malamdecha, I can't teach you. Don't forget, I was caught on the grounds of my having taught Torah. So and now I'm in prison, I can't do it." Omar lo, so Rabbi Shimon Choy says, "Im ein atom lamdeni, ani omer lo yochoy abo umoisrucho lamalchus." This is an amazing threat. He says, if you don't teach me Torah, I'll tell my father, whose name was Yochai. After all, this is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Apparently, from the context of the Gemara, this Yochai must have been some type of influential individual, and he will tell on you to the government, and they will increase your suffering here in prison, if not something worse. So Rabbi Shimon Baruch Hu just issued an outright threat, it seems, from this Gemara. Omar lo, Rabbi Akiva tries to explain his position. He says, "Bini yoser mimashu ego roitze linok, pora roitze lohanik." More than the calf, in this case, this is an analogy to a student, more than the calf wants to receive, that to nurse, linok is to nurse, and to, more than the student wants to receive, para, the mother, in this case the teacher, rotsa lahanik, the mother wants to nurse. So that if you think that I'm withholding the Torah and I'm not feeling pain in this, you're mistaken. Amalo, but Rabbi Shimon Chaya says, Umi basakona, alo egil basakona, who is in danger if the nursing doesn't take place? The calf will die because that's its food supply. And if I don't receive my Torah, then what will be of me? Omar Lo, Rabbi Akiva explains, or he continues sharing with him points of wisdom. What's interesting here is that these are points of wisdom. Is this, in fact, an expression of teaching Torah? Well, after all, Torah is designed to teach us how to live, amongst other things. The word Torah means instructions. So Rabbi Akiva tells him these points of wisdom. He says, "Im bikashta lechonek, hitole bi'ilon gadol." Now, the literal translation of this is of almost no meaning. So what we're going to do is going to learn the Rashbam on this particular phrase. The Rashbam is found right under the Gemara text. Vim bikashta lichonek, hitole bi'ilon gadol. Lomar dovor shishama lebrios vikablu mimcha. If you want to say something and want the public to accept it, umishum denokat lishna dechanikon, or denokat lishna dehitole bi'ilon nokat lishna dechanika. The expression here of chaniko literally is strangling, and hitala bila means to hang from a tree, but it's a, we'll call it a turn of phrase, that's why these words are chosen. Nevertheless, if you want your words to be accepted by the public, lemoid bifnei rav, learn in front of an outstanding instructor, the emor shmu oisov mishmo, and say over his teachings in his name. People will accept what you say when you're quoting from a greater authority. Number two, back into the Gemara. Kshato malamed is bincha lamdeu b'sefer muge. And when you teach your son, teach him from a book that has been edited or checked, proofread would be a better expression. Muga means proofread. There's the rest of this line, you notice, is in brackets, and the next line you see, number three, lo savashel, because there is a third piece of advice. But before we get to that, the Gemara wants to know, what is he referring to, or what's the reason behind his insisting on one teaching from a proofread book? My, he, what is this? Omar Rabba, Vitema Rav Misharshia, Rava, or some say Rav Misharshia, Bechadita, Shabeshta kevon de all. If when bechadeta is a reference to when a child is starting to learn, that's chadash. Chadeta is chadash. He's starting to learn something anew. If he learns a mistake, once it's learned, kevon de all, it enters and it's hard for it to leave. Now the Tosfos points out something very important. Rava is known to have said in Maseches Bava Basra just the opposite, that the learning of a mistake is not a great catastrophe, because in the course of time, when one relearns or one goes over previously learned topics, mistakes are often filtered out. So now that's Rava's position over there. So here you see Rava's very concerned with the learning of a mistake. So the Tosfos answers that it depends. One is a function of learning from a person, and the other case, and that's the case at hand, is learning from the printed word. When one is learning from the printed word, from a book, one relies on the book, and that reliance on the book could result in the mistake being learned and relearned and relearned. Of course, if one's learning from a book, he inevitably is going to open up the book again and learn from the same book. And if it's not proofread, he'll be relearning the same mistake. This is to the contrary from a lecture that one hears from an individual. And even though there may have been some erroneous information conveyed in the lecture, nevertheless, when the individual, when the listener goes over the topic on other occasions on his own, the mistake that he may have heard will be filtered out. Continuing in the Gemara, the second line from the bottom, number 3, this expression is in fact a euphemism, but the translation of it is, don't cook in the pot that your friend cooked in. Now, of course, I can't refer to literally to a pot. What could possibly be wrong with using someone else's pot? So, as we said, this is a euphemism. And in the brackets, as you can see here, this bracketed section, which continues to the top line of Omid Beis, the Gemara presents several possible explanations. On the top line of Omid Beis, you will notice number 4 will appear. 4 out of the 5 pieces of advice that Rabbi Akiva is conveying to Rabbi Shimon Nechoi. In the meantime, what about number 3? So, Mainu, what is this idea of not cooking in the pot that your friend cooked in? So, Aleph, one shot is Grusha B'chaye Bala. The advice is not to marry a woman who is divorced while her former husband is still alive. The Omamar, Gorush Shenosa Grusha, if a man who happens to be divorced marries a woman who happens to be divorced, Arba Deos Bamita. In fact, you have this new couple getting together. There is a representation here of 2 couples, meaning a total of 4 people. The Rashbam elaborates on this, and we can glance in the Rashbam, the second line from the bottom. This has to do with areas that require extreme modesty, but since the Rashbam appears here, we'll just take a look at what he says. He says, Arba Deos Bishas Tashmish Ze Libo Liishta Rishon Veze Lebay Lo Harishon. During the time of intimacy, each partner in this new couple may very well be thinking about their experience with their previous spouse. V'tanya, and there is a source that says Lo Yishamish Adam Im Ish Tovitin Eino Bisha Cheres V'Ubonav Kroivin L'Mamzerim Anikurim B'nei Grushas Alev B'Maseches Nidorim. The Gemara there, and this is worth noting, that a person when involved in intimacy is supposed to have a very we'll call it holy mindset and concentrate only on his spouse and not on other individuals. But it's rather difficult when you're dealing with people that had previous marriages for them to concentrate on the current experience. Continuing in the Gemara, V'boyz Emo, another approach, and we label this Beis Afilu Balmona. In other words, as opposed to the first example in the explanation was referring to a woman whose husband was still alive, that she happened to be divorced, even if it's a matter of marrying a woman that is a widow, nevertheless, for her, she will be, she may have thoughts of her previous experiences. She'en kol etzbois shavois. And the Rashbam says that Ever Tashmish is a etzba is a finger, but it's a euphemism, and it's a reference to the Ever Tashmish. And we talk She'en Tashmish Shazen Noyach Lo Kishel Rishon Tisna Oisoi. And since her experiences with this new spouse may be less comfortable than her experiences with her former spouse, who is now no longer living, but since it may be more uncomfortable, that could lead to her developing a sense of hate toward her new husband. Number 4, mitzvah v'guf gadol, oifel peros v'lo schar mitzvah. I have found in the past that it's very hard to translate this particular phrase, but the idea behind it is explained by the Rashbam, that a person has an opportunity to perform a mitzvah and actually benefit from its performance if he does it in the following way. And we're talking here about extending a loan to an individual. So, as everyone can easily understand, extending a loan to a person in his time of need is a great mitzvah. The question here is, how does one get the payback of the loan? So the simple approach to paybacks of loan is, if you give someone money, you get back the same amount of money. You expect a cash repayment. There's another option that from which everyone can benefit, and that's called in using the term that the Rashbam mentions here, which is a Gemara in Vava Metzia in the fifth parak. It's called Benach Yaisa. It means that you extend a cash loan to an individual who happens to have a field, an agricultural field, and then you take his field as a form of collateral and make an arrangement with him that for the next 5 years, just using a random example, for the next 5 years, you will view the harvests from the field as payback for the loan, so that the borrower is not going to have to pay back any cash, and that the cash that he just borrowed from you, he can use for investments. He can buy items, sell them at a profit, and keep turning over the money and increasing his cash supply. And all of this time not having to worry about paying back the cash. On the other hand, the lender will be able to benefit from fruits. There is always a possibility, and what we want to say right now has to do with Hilchis Ribbis, because there's a very severe penalty or offense in Jewish law of taking interest from someone that to whom you loaned money. So in this kind of situation, there's always the possibility that the field will not produce anything, and he still will have to view that year as one of the years of payback. So that situation of potential loss obviates the interest problem per se, but on the other hand, he can have an arrangement here where he enjoys a harvest and gets fruits that otherwise would have cost more in the marketplace, and he can benefit from those fruits. This is found in the Rashbam, and this is what is suggested here in the advice in number 4, how to perform a mitzvah and have everyone benefit from it. Number 5, V'guf tohor nosei isha velo bonim. If a person, and this is a fifth piece of advice, for a person to maintain his purity, his piety and purity, this would be a man who, even though he has children, namely, even though he has fulfilled the mitzvah of procreation of pru uravu, nevertheless, if he's no longer with a wife, he should marry a woman anyway. He shouldn't be in a situation, a man should not be in a situation where he is without a woman, without a spouse, even if he has already fulfilled the mitzvah of pru uravu. By having a spouse, this will keep him in a pure situation and not seeking forbidden relations. Arba dvarim tziva Rabbeinu HaKadosh es bono. 4 things. Rabbeinu HaKadosh is known as Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, or Rebbe, instructed his sons. 1. Al todur b'shachantziv. Don't live in the town of Shachantziv. Mishum deleitzoni havu. They are scoffers. They are jokers over there. They're lightheaded individuals. And the nature of leitzonus is such that umashchu loch b'leitzonus. They'll draw you into their frivolity and their lightheadedness. Number 2. V'al teshev al mitas aromis. Don't sit, and here we'll offer a literal translation, leaving room for some room for different explanations, as the Gemara itself will provide in the upcoming bracketed section. But the literal translation is, do not sit on the bed of a Gentile woman. After this bracketed section, you'll notice a number 3. The bracket length indicator appears here on the outside, on the right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a vertical dash dotted line, after which appears idea number 3. But in the meantime, what is meant by al teshev al mitas aramis? So we have in this bracketed section, you'll notice, 3 possibilities. They're underlined, each one beginning with the expression ikal diami. There are those that say this, this, and this. 3 explanations. So ikal diami, the first explanation, the lo tigni below kriyashma. Tigni means to go to sleep. That a person should not just plop his body into bed and go to sleep without reciting Kriya Shema beforehand. A goy, a Gentile, when he's tired, he just flops into bed. The Gemara here is telling, don't behave like a standard Gentile, but rather recite the Kriya Shema beforehand, and hence that's what is in, that's what's meant by Al Teshev Al Mitas Aramis. Don't enter the bed like a Gentile. Number Beis Vika Diamri Delo Tinsiv Giyurta. Don't marry a convert. And the Rashbam explains why Rebbe is recommending dissuading his sons from marrying a convert, and that's because there's a rule that if one is in the presence of someone who converted, or is in the presence of someone whose parents converted, or knows that he is a descendant from converts, one has to be very careful in how he refers to non-Jewish individuals because of sensitivity matters. And it's sometimes difficult for a person not to slip up and make some kind of offhanded remark. And if one's spouse happens to be themselves that whose origins are from non-Jews, it could be insulting, and the danger of insulting the spouse is of great concern. Therefore, to avoid the whole problem, this is his advice. A third interpretation, v'ikov yamri armois mamish, not to sit on the bed of a Gentile woman literally not to sit on the bed, and that's because of a what we refer to as a blood libel that once took place. The Gemara is very brief here. It doesn't tell you what the mice is, but the Rashbam does tell you what it is. There was a story where Rav Papa once had loaned money to a Gentile, and he came to the house to get his payback, and they said, come in. And prior to his entering the house, the Gentile had strangled their child and put the child in the bed, probably under some blankets, or put the dead baby in the bed. And the borrower, after inviting Rav Papa, come in and have a seat, sit down. And when they came with the money, so to speak, or when when Rav Papa, after he sat down, he said, sit down until I get the money. So he sat down, and then she said, hey, where's my kid? And she picked up the blankets where Rav Papa was sitting, and there was the dead child. He said, hey, you killed my child! A blood libel. And we are unfortunately all too familiar with stories like this throughout our Jewish history. So Rebbe, in anticipating these kind of situations, says, you know what, when you're invited into the house of a Gentile, don't accept their offer of sitting on their bed. Number three, V'al tavriach atzmocho min ameches. Don't avoid the tax collectors. Don't, in other words, avoid meaning don't try to get away. If you have merchandise that you brought into the country and you need to pay taxes on the merchandise, don't try to evade that. And the explanation is forthcoming. Dilmo mashkechulach, they might catch you, and when the authorities catch you, they'll end up fining you much more than the item was worth. Vishakli minoch called the islach, and they'll wipe you out. They'll take everything you have. So it's not worth trying or attempting to evade the tax man. Number four, v'al tamod b'fnei ashor b'shal sho'ila mino agam, and don't stand in front of an ox when it's returning from the lake from where it drinks. B'nei shasotan merakeid bein karnov, because it's dangerous. The Rashbam says here, we don't have to translate this literally. That's not necessarily the intent of the Gemara. The sotan simply representing danger. So because the standing in the presence of an ox, after it finished its drink and its meal, it can become wild. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, he qualifies this and says that this warning is Bishor Shachor, a black ox, Ubiyoyim Nisan, and in the Nisan months. This is the spring season. The Rashbam says that in the spring season, plants are starting to sprout and the animal feels a sense of haughtiness. Gas libo, it says, the Rashbam says, a sense of power, and it will gore. Tony Ravoshaya. The Gemara here continues with a little bit more about oxen. It says, Marchikin, one should keep his distance. Aleph, Mishor Tam, Chamishim Amo. From a tame type of ox, Tam. Interesting that the word Tam, and in English you have the word tame. Tam is a halachic category referring to an ox that has, it may have gored once or twice, but it's not a goring ox. A goring ox is one who was gored three times. So it's called a shor tam, but even though it's viewed as tam or tame, possibly, one should stay away from it, even stay away 50 amas from it. Mishor muad, if you're dealing with a goring type ox, kimlo einov, as far as your eye can see, stay away from it. Tanu mishmei de Rebbe Meir. It was taught in the name of Rebbe Meir the following: Resh tura b'dikula. Even if the ox, the tura is a shor, is an ox. Resh is the head. Even if the head of the animal is b'dikula in its feeding basket. Sok le'igra v'shodi darga mitusech. Sok means to go up le'igra to a roof. V'shodi darga, and throw the darga. Throw the darga is a ladder. Mitusech, from under you. In other words, run away from it. Even though at this moment the animal's mind isn't even on you. What we're seeing here is that how one should be very careful and avoid these creatures. The next few lines of Gemara, you'll notice we've underlined the word nizha. The Rashbam has two pshatim. The pshat that he likes is a rather more mundane pshat than the first pshat that he offers. First pshat, he says that the word nizha is a reference to an incantation. The second pshat is simply a type of saying, if you will, or sounds that one makes in order to move things on. We'll see that as we go on in the Gemara. Omar Rav, Niza de Tura, the sound or the words one should say in order to either chase the animal away, or if you're plowing with it, in order to make it move in its plowing, you say Hein Hein. Niza de Aryeh, the noise to use in the context of a lion, you go Ze Ze. Niza de Gamla, the Nizah, the noise that one should say when dealing with a camel, da, da. Nizah, the arba, this refers to people drawing a boat or a barge along a river. So while heaving the ropes that are attached to the barge, this is what one may say, and it'll maybe help in their efforts. Hilnihe, hilo vehiluk hulya. It may be argued that this in fact is an incantation, but that is worthy of further investigation. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, Abaye's name appears encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the following lines are part of Abaye's comment. Omar Abaye, or dag v'kois chamin ubeitzim v'kinim levonim, Kulun Koshin L'davar Acher. He gives a list of six items that if one encounters them, they could be dangerous in leading up to Dover Acher. Dover Acher is an expression you find in many Gemaras, and it's associated with Tzoras, which is a type of skin discoloration or a skin disease. What are these things? Well, we have a list of them, and the Gemara will go over the list right now. Or is, and we've double underlined the words, and we've noted on the outside margin the double underlining on our Nose Mivneh heading. Shishadvarim Shekoshin Letzara, six items that could be dangerous with regard to bringing on Tzaras. The first word, or literally is leather or skin or leather. That's or spelled with an ayin as opposed to the same sounding word with an aleph, means light. But here, or is leather. Man de goni amashcho de tzola. This refers to one who sleeps on a leather surface. The tzola is a person involved with tanning. He has many skins in his business. Then we're talking here about skins before they've gone through the complete tanning process. We'll call it partially raw skins. So the sleeping on partially raw skins could lead to tzaras. Dog. This is a dog is a fish, and it's a reference here to shibuta v'yom nisan. The shibuta type fish, one should not eat it during the yom nisan, the spring season. Kais. That is a reference to shure kosa daharsana. This is the we saw this expression, this term kosa daharsana on Amud Aleph when the Gemara was referring to what should a poor man do to signify that it's Shabbos, even though he has almost no means. He should prepare kosa daharsana. Kosa daharsana is a fried fish dish, and here what the one should avoid is eating the residue of the fried fish. The fish was fried in flour, so the residue from that frying one should avoid. Chamin. The chamin is a term referring to hot water. Chamimi de chamimi mishderu iluya. The Rashbam explains im rogi lishpoich mayim chamin yoyser midai al basoro. What could lead to tzaras is the someone who is accustomed to taking extremely hot showers, where that the Rashbam says one who allows hot water poured over him, hot meaning yoser midai, more than the standard heat level that one would expect. Next, beitzim, man de midrach aklipim, one who steps over egg shells, one who tramples on egg shells. Kinim levonim, man de machfir levushe velo notir le tamni yomi vahoder lovush la baryon hanoch kinim vekoshin ledover acher. This is referring to an issue concerning washing of clothing. It's our assumption that we're talking about someone who needed to wash clothing because they had been kinim infested. Kinim often is translated as lice infested. So let us work with that assumption right now, that a person had some garments that were lice infested, and the machfir levushe means to wash. The machfir is a word associated with whiteness, so he tried to cleanse his clothing, and he didn't lo notir, he didn't wait, lo notir le tamni yoimi, he didn't wait 8 days and put the clothing on within 8 days of their being washed. So the fear is that the kinim will come back. Could be that after the washing process, this is a mere assumption, but it could be after the washing process, the whatever lice there may have been are severely weakened and left unworn, so they will eventually die. But wearing the clothing within the 8 days, that will give them a chance to maybe the wearing and the body heat and the sweat or what have you might be a reason for them to rejuvenate and hence cause the danger posed by tzaras. Omar Rav Papa. Beso de is be shunra. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a Roman numeral number 1, and a few lines later, on the third wide line, you'll see a swiggle underline expression, ikod di amri, suggesting an alternative pshat. It's markings system involves topic headings, as we've mentioned earlier. In the outside margin, we have here the nosei, the topic heading, shnei lishoine shel Rav Papa beinyan bias, Sheesh or Ein Bo Shunra. Two versions of Rav Papa regarding a house that either does or does not have in it a Shunra. Shunra is often translated as a cat. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Papa, Beso de Is Be Shunra, a house that happens to have in it a cat, Lo Neil Bo Inish Below Misani. A person should not enter it barefoot. Below misani means without shoes. My taima, why should one be careful to always wear shoes in a house that has a cat? Mishum de shunra kotel lechivya viochile. Cats kill and eat snakes. The is be bechivya garmik tini. And the snake has in it small bones. V'i Yosef le garmo de chivyo akare lo nofik v'istikin le. And after the cat eats it, so the cat might not eat all the little bones, and some of the snake bones will be left. And if one of these snake bones gets into a person's foot, it doesn't come out, and it poses a danger. Iko di Amri, beso de les be shunro. The other version of Rapopa's teaching is a house that does not have in it a cat. Lo nail be inish be hechra. A person should not enter it in darkness. Mai taimo. Why not? Well, we said a moment ago that cats, if they're there, they provide protection against snakes. But if you're dealing with a house that doesn't have a cat in it, it may very well have snakes in it. Going into such a house in darkness, the following, Dilmo, maybe, Michruch Bechivya Volo Yoda Umistakein, a snake might wrap itself around you and it will endanger you. Gimel Dvorim Tziva Rebbe Yishmor Rebbe Yossi S. Rebbe. Once again, you see another triangle, and we have a list of things here. In this case, Rebbe Yishmor Rebbe Yossi is instructing Rebbe. In the parentheses, we have a simen, makash. This is these are letters representing the following three teachings that will be shared with us. Number one, al tas mum be'atzmecha. You'll notice we have the brackets again right after that in number two, representing the second of the three items. But in the brackets, the Gemara explains what is intended by this statement. The statement itself translates as, don't inflict a self-inflicted injury on yourself. Don't blemish yourself. Mahi, what do you mean by that? Answer, lo teheve loch dina bahade tlosa. Don't enter a dispute with three people against you. Because if, let us say, you enter a dispute with three people against you, because of their anger toward you, because you're fighting with them, they might enter into a conspiracy against you. And the chad have a baal dincha. One will be your challenger. The trei sadi and the two others will work as his witnesses. So that if a person finds himself at odds with a couple of people, make sure that he doesn't confront three at one time, because as we just said, one could then put in a claim, and the two others can serve as his witnesses. Yeah, that you owe their friend money, and you will lose. That's two witnesses is a very strong means of winning cases. Number two, V'al tamod al hamekach b'shal she'en l'chodomim. Don't eye an item in a store appearing to be interested in buying it when you don't have money to buy it. The reason for that very simply is that if you're eyeing a particular item, and let's just say it's a one-of-a-kind type of thing, someone else that may have been interested that did have money will see you looking at it and say, well, this guy wants to buy it, and just walks away, when in fact you don't have the means of buying it, and the other guy that walked away did have the means of buying it, and by your eyeing it, you're causing the owner, the seller, to lose a sale. Number three, Ishtecha tovla al tizkak lo laila harishona. Here the literal translation is that if one's wife immersed herself for ritual purification after the period of time that a woman is forbidden to her husband for intimate purposes, but the saying here is that as soon as she emerges from her tefillah that same night, don't have relations with her. On the surface, this is a very odd statement. So it's now explained. Omar Rav. Rav says that this is very limited to the following. Ubenida de oiraiso. It's talking about a nida on the Torah level. The Torah level of the halacha of nida says, and this is not something that actual practicing halacha has any connection with today, but the original Torah law of nida stated that if a woman is in the nida period, that's a 7-day period, even if she's experiencing the female flow for the full 7 days, as long as the flow stops very close to, even if it's very close to the end of the seventh day, she has a right to immerse herself in the mikveh, and she becomes muteres to her husband. Why, though, if the by letter of the law she is allowed, why is Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, saying not to be with her on that night? Hoyil v'huchsuk mayon pasuach. Since mayon pasuach is a euphemism referring to the female flow, since the flow was just that very same day it was taking place, it was still open, so to speak, an open flow. True, it may have stopped for a couple of minutes, enabling her to go to the mikveh, but dilma moshcha ziva, it might pick up again, and the continued flow, which is called ziva, which is also something that creates a prohibition for man and wife to be together. So play it safe and make sure that the flow has really stopped by waiting at least till the next day. Shloisha dvorim tziva Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda es Rabbi. So Rabbi is receiving a great deal of instruction here, not only from Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. Here we see Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda offering some advice to Rabbi. Al teitzei yichidi b'layla. One should not be outdoors alone at night. V'al tamoid b'fnei haner orum, and not stand unclothed in front of a candle. V'al tikones l'merchatz chodosh shemo tifchas, and not enter a newly constructed bathhouse because of the fear that the floor under which was the source of heat and fire and boiling water that created the steam in the bathhouse, the floor might cave in. Ad kama. Well, how long should a bathhouse be standing before which it's advisable that a person enters it? Omri b'Yishua ben Levi, ad yud beis chodesh. Not before the passage of 12 months or a year. One should make sure that the bathhouse that he wants to use is standing for 12 months. That will ensure that the structure has solidified. The al tamoid b'fnei haner orum. This is a reference to the second point, and hence we have a little number two over this, so to draw your attention back to the fact that this was the second point that was just mentioned. The idea of not standing unclothed in front of an air, desanya ho'imid b'fnei haner orum, having nichpeh. One who practices this will become nichpeh. Nichpeh is a disease which is similar, it seems, from the descriptions that one finds when learning about it, seems to be something similar to epilepsy. It's a falling disease. V'ameshamesh mitosu li'or haner, one who engages in marital relations in the light, to by candlelight, havyun lon bonim nichpin, that will be that could bring on the children that develop from such a union to be children suffering from this phenomenon known as nichpeh. Tanu rabbanon hameshamish mitoso al mito shetinok yoshein oleo oisoi tinok nichpeh. If a person engages in marital relations on a bed that an infant is sleeping on, that child will become nichpeh. Now, this is qualified in the next few lines. In fact, with our markings, it's very easy to see that we've squiggle-underlined the expression v'lomar and elo in a diagonal fashion descending rightward. You can see how this is highly qualified. So the objection to conducting relations on a bed while an infant is there is qualified. V'lo amar en elo delo havi bar shosa. This is so only if he is not a year old. Avol havi bar shosa, if the child is a year old, less lon ba, then we're not worried. In other words, the fear of nichbe setting in is of no concern if the child is already a year old. V'lo amar en elo degoni lahadi kare. And the problem is only if goni means sleeping, lahadi kare, by the feet, by his feet. Avogoni lahadi reshe, if he's sleeping by his head, less lon ba, then we are of no concern. Volo amarelo delo monach yode iluya, and the problem is only if the person does not place his hand on the child. Avol monach yode iluya, less lon ba, if he places his hand on the child, then we do not have any concern. You see a little one over the expression now, al yitetze. This one refers to what was mentioned before, but since we've already distanced ourselves a bit from where it originally was found, we also have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and all you have to do is skim up to find the parallel arrow, and you'll see where this quote is coming from. We also have a long point marking that accompanies this section, and it goes till the top line on Kuf Yud Gimel. Al teitze yichidi balayla. We saw above that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda told Rabbi, don't go out at night alone. Desanya, lo yeitze yichidi balayla. Lo balele revios, velo balele shabosos. Not to go out at night alone seems in this context to be a reference specifically to Tuesday nights and Friday nights. Why not? Ne sha'agris bas machlas hi ushmoina esrei riboy shamalach yichabola yoitzin. Because this we'll call the dangerous force. We've seen in previous Dapim in the Gemara quite recently, the Gemaras that focused on witches and Ruchos Ra and Shadim. So Agros Bas Machlas figures as one of these negative forces. She and her 180,000 dangerous angels, Malachi Chabola, Our angels of destruction go outdoors. V'chol echad v'echad yesh lo reshus l'chabel b'fnei asmon. Each one of these destructive angels has rights to cause injury. The Gemara goes on telling us about the historical development involved in this particular issue. Meikara v'shrichi kuliyoma. The source itself teaches us about Tuesday nights and Friday nights, but the Gemara points out that they used to be common every day. In other words, there would have been a warning not to be out alone any night. However, now we see diamonds here. These diamonds are around expression Zimno Chada, and on the outside margin, under our Mivneh heading Zimno Chada, we've written Mifgashim Bein Agres Basmachlis V'Rabonim. She encounters Rabonim. The Gemara will report two stories, one involving Rabbi Chanina Ben Doisa, and the second story involving Abaye. Abaye being many years later. So the Gemara goes on, Zimno Chada Pogob Rabbi Chanina Ben Doisa once, Agris Bas Machlis met up with Rabbi Chanina Ben Doisa Omra Le, and she told him, Ilav de Machrizon Alach Berakia Hizaru Bechanino Betoiroso Sakantich. If not for the fact that they announced in heaven, be careful of Rabbi Chanina and his Torah. Rabbi Chanina was an outstanding Torah figure. If not for the announcement in heaven, be careful of him, I would have endangered you. Omar law. So Rabbi Chanina recessed back to her, Ichashiv no berakia, if I'm so important in heaven, Gezer ani olayich shelo tavori biyishuv li'olam, I rule that you shall not pass through inhabited areas forever. Omra lei. So she said back, Bimatusa minoch, please, Shavak li revocha porta, leave for me a little space. Shavak lo lele shabosus velele revio. So he allowed for her the movement on Tuesday nights and Friday nights. And this is a reference to what we saw in the source. And the source is really reporting then an incident that took place, historically later than what originally was. And that's what the Gemara's opening comment after the source was, that originally she was common every night until this incident. And what you saw in the Tanaic source was a result of this incident. Now Abaye is a period of the Amoraic period, which is after the Tanaic period. So, but the Gemara tells us that she met up with Abaye, And Omrele, she said to him, Ilav Machzilov Berakiyev, not for them having announced in heaven. His Haru ben Nachmeni, but also be careful of Nachmeni. Nachmeni is a nickname for Abaye. Abaye was raised by Rabba Bar Nachmeni, and in honor of the one who raised him, Abaye took on the name Nachmeni. So in heaven they reported, be careful of Abaye. And if not for that announcement in heaven, she says, Havi sakantich, I would have endangered you. Omar law. So Abaye says to Agras, he says, Ichashivna Burakia, if I'm so important in the heavens, goes Rani Alaihi Shlotavori Biyushivolam, I rule that you shall not pass through inhabited areas forever. Now at this point, it seems that she didn't respond to that, and it seems that it sticks. And because of this, the Gemara asks, "Hakochazina d'avra?" But we see that she passes through; she or her angels of destruction do pass through communities. Amri, the Gemara answers, "Hani gazyaisa ninu deshamti susya viosu dabri lahu." The Rashi at the top says, "Gazyaisa kishemahalchin b'muvois shvile kromim," when they walk through the little pathways in the vineyards. The Susayan Mishtamtin Mikan Uborchin Bayishov, and the horses that these angels of destruction ride when they're confronted with these very narrow pathways in the vineyards, the horses sometimes because of the because of these narrow paths, they somehow escape. They somehow maybe they feel a sense of pressure, and they run away. And the Malachi Chabolah come to recapture their horses. So their presence, as the Gemara's question indicated, their presence in the communities is a function of their running into town to try to recapture their horses and bring them back out. But from this particular incident, it seems that Abaye's Gezerah, in fact, did stick. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.